Hallelujah. I think check. Carol. All right. We may have to make some adjustments on the feels a little bit loud, but just barely, not too much. Can you play your guitar? Yeah, come down just slightly on the piano. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, guitar's good. Yeah, turn her on.
Check.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Oh, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom, hey. Shabbat, Shalom, hey. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone. Praise the Lord. What day are we? Let's see, one, two, today is, so it's like the seventh night. Praise the Lord. And we're having a joy in the house today and just rejoicing in God's wonderful light of the world, amen, that Yeshua brought the light of the world. Mi milal alguv rach yisrael otan mi yimne And beheld or Yakum al Gibor Goel. Me in Malal Kuvrot Israel Otan me Yimne. And beheld or Yakum al Gibor Goel. Shema Bayam Bipahem Basman Hazel. Makapiyam shofateh Uvyamenu kolam Yisrael Yitahid yakum lahigael Who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every page a hero's age came to our aid. Who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every age a hero's age came to our aid. Mark, and days are your in Israel's ancient land. Brave Maccabeus led the faithful band. But all of us all must as one arise, redeemed today through Jesus' sacrifice. Well, welcome, righteous royal Otamim, and Behodoria cum magiborgo ha'am. Who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every age a hero's age came to our aid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. It is Shabbat, and we are so blessed to be in the house of the Lord and to be with the Messiah, Yeshua. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech Yeshua, b'mashiach Yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation, and the Messiah, Yeshua, amen. Ma tovu o ha lecha Yaakov mishkenotecha are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. Ve'ani berach hasdecha, avo betecha. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness.
The house where you dwell,
and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Amen. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them, bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Hallelujah. Anthony, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this day on this Shabbat. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here in your synagogue today, Lord. We ask that you will bless those that are here today, Lord, and bring those that want to be here, come today, Lord. We just anoint them that they'll come and be a part of the worship today, Lord. Bless Rabbi's message today as he brings it. Bless Dawn and the singers today as they minister in music to us, Lord. We pray that you'll bless each and every one today. We ask that you'll bless Israel today, Lord, and bless them, and may the enemy be turned away today, O Lord, against them as we continue to celebrate the time of Hanukkah, Lord. We pray for the Jewish community in the United States, all the Messianic communities, Lord, also that you'll bless and anoint them today, Lord. Bless us as a congregation today, Lord, and may this synagogue continue to be a light to those that are lost in this area. Yes. We ask that you'll bless us today, Lord, and bless our service. It's in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Kumi ori kibahore Lukvod Adonai ala yitzara Kumi ori
Lord Adonai, alayuk sarah, kumi ori ki bahoreh.
Lord Adonai, alayuk sarah, kumi ori ki bahoreh. Lord Adonai, alayuk sarah. Ine hahoshe yahasa eretz ve'arafel leumim ve'alayik yisrach aduno ukvado alayik yera'eh. O kumi ori givahorech ukvod Adonai alayik sarah. Kumi ori givahorech Vod Adonai alayik sara, kumi ori kivahorech. Vod Adonai alayik sara, kumi ori kivahorech. Vod Adonai alayik sara. Darkness will cover all of the nations, and fog will fall on their lands, but on you will shine the Lord, and upon you his glory will be seen. Oh, rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon you.
Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee. Kumi ori kibore, Okot Adonai alayik sara. Kumi ori kibore, Okot Adonai alayik sara.
So I'll stand for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשקפך וקומך וקשבתם על מזוזות ביתך
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words, which I command you this day, be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontless between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
When you rise up.
Amen. Hallelujah. Ben so ha'aron.
Vayhi ben so ha'aron, vayomer Moshe, Kuma Adonai, v'yafutsu oivecha, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, udvar Adonai, Yerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Le'amor Yisrael, Bikdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel. Amen. Ya'amod.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah.
Baruchu Adonai Hamvara.
Baruch Adonai Rohim Vahed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvara Vahed.
Baruch Atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bakar banu mikol ha'amim, benata lenu et torato, baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one.
Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
You can be seated. Okay. Starting a new month called Tevet. And it means the month of dreaming. So it just ties right into the Maccabees and this Torah portion and Hanukkah. Let me get all this together here. I got a double. I got a double thing going here at one time. So today's Torah portion is called Miketz, and it's talking about the end. And it's talking about, it starts in Genesis chapter 41 through 44, and the half Torah is 1 Kings chapter 3. So as I said, Kislev is a month about dreams. Last week we talked a little bit about how Joseph was sold by his brothers. Not really. They put him in the cistern, and the Ishmaelites actually purchased him. But he goes to Egypt, and there he's blessed. But it takes a while to get the blessing, excuse me, from God, because he's accused of a crime. So he puts him in prison. So he sits there for 12 years. That's a long time to be confined in Egypt. That time the prisons wasn't exactly a nice place to be. You didn't get the good things of food or whatever. You didn't get it. So he meets two guys that have been...
I hear it's not so good these days either.
It is. Probably not. Probably not today.
Two meals a day, either grilled cheese or pizza.
Yeah.
And
or a peanut butter sandwich.
String beans and I think a milk.
not a good meal.
I'd stay
out of that way, so yeah. You won't get into trouble.
I used to visit a guy.
yeah.
Several guys.
Okay, so he meets these two guys. They work for Pharaoh, and they got put in prison. And so he tells them he dreams about them and tells them what's going to happen to him. And of course, the wine steward was returned, and the other guy, the baker, was killed. And so Joseph says, when you get to Pharaoh, remind him of who I am. And so it took another 2 years before the guy that brought the wine to Pharaoh remembered, after Pharaoh had the dreams about the cows and the corn and the famine that was coming. And so Joseph got to go and tell Pharaoh what it meant. And so in the meantime, Joseph is given the title of viceroy. He's second in command to the Pharaoh. And so he has all the things that the Pharaoh has. They give it to him. And so he marries an Egyptian woman. And when you look at Joseph, you see he's actually a shadow of Yeshua, because Yeshua was portrayed like Joseph. They both were put into a cell type thing. One was in jail, and one was in the cistern, and they was in prison for things they did not do. And they both came to redeem Israel. That was the purpose of Joseph. And so we see today the Maccabees were dreamers just like Joseph. As we jump a little bit to Hanukkah, as we're sort of closing in on that holiday. And so they dreamed too. They dreamed about God helping them and defeat the Greek and Assyrian army, so and destroy and to rebuild the temple back to its holiness. And so you see, it wasn't a battle. It was a battle, but it was to destroy. It was a battle of faith. And this is something I wrote for Hanukkah, just to sort of wrap it up, because I know Rabbi's probably going to speak about it. But Hanukkah to me reveals a truth across every generation. We know that the story. We already know the story of what happened with the Maccabees. Heaven did not count how much oil was in the cruse, but it was about not. And it wasn't about the quantity of the oil, but it was about the purity of what was left in the cruse. It was the purity of what was left, and so the oil represents the anointing that was used. Yeshua was anointed. The prophets were anointed. And so the priests, everyone, there was an anointing. There was a concentration for them. And see, the menorah was never built just for light, to be able to see in the darkness. But it was the testimony. The light of the menorah is the testimony of God's presence to dwell among his people. That's the purpose of the menorah. It gives light, but it gives the light of Yeshua. And it gives light that God is dwelling among his people. Yeshua tells us that lawlessness will increase and love would grow very cold in the final days. And that's why Hanukkah is so important, because it is a very prophetic time. And it tells us about a lot about the end of time that's coming. You see, when Yeshua, he gives the example of the 10 virgins. All 10 were believers, but only 5 had extra oil as they were waiting for the groom to come. And so the groom came, and they did not have oil. And so they had to go and buy oil. And when they came back, they were not allowed to go into the wedding because the door was closed. And Yeshua says that whoever reads this, let him understand what God is saying. He will part to the desecration of the temple under Antiochus Epiphanes. And Hanukkah would create a celebration, but it was also about a violent threat against the Jewish people in the second century. The Jewish people forced a direct spiritual assault armed at the heart of the covenant of faith that the Jewish people had. The Greeks and Assyrians wanted to erase the Jewish identity. They wanted to infer their Greek and idol worship upon the Jewish people. They outlawed the Torah. They desecrated the laws of God. In the temple, they put pagan gods, and they sacrificed hogs in the temple, and that was the place that God's presence dwelt, that they were in defiling it. And so the battle was actually a battle over worship. That's what Hanukkah is about. It's about the worship that the Maccabees brought forth in their battle. And it was, again, God uses small numbers to get his accomplishments. The Maccabees were not a great army like the Greeks had, but God uses small things. So Hanukkah is a prophetic alarm to not negotiate with dreams, with darkness, I'm sorry, not to negotiate with darkness. It will appear in the last days that powers will come, and they will try to remove God, and they will demand worship and God's place that he wants us to worship in. They will demand that's coming at the end of time. And so today, just to close, we must stand firm and take action, and we must remain faithful to the God of Israel. Shabbat Shalom.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to bring, you may be seated. I'll bring some announcements, and then we'll continue our worship in song. And as people come and are able, we used to have lots of dance, not as much, but as people are able to dance, we do that for the Lord. And then the message of the Lord through Rabbi. So stay tuned, all right? And so thank you for joining us today. Carol, did we get the sign up, the forms? Did you find them? Okay. So we're all family in the house, except for a couple of people. And we got Billy back with us. Yay! Nobody recognized Billy because he's like, how?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What happened to Billy? You know, who took him away? He's over 200 pounds now, a force to be reckoned with. So he's made a bunch of touchdowns this year. Now he's into baseball. And so we're just so proud of Billy. And you brought your friend. Now, actually, Goliath is his name, right? Goliath, you're going to have to get a little more, you know.
You got to.
Hey, Billy, get him to get on your program there. Well, thank you, Goliath, for joining us, coming over to the camp of Israel today, and he's joining us. Hallelujah! So that's wonderful. We got Lloyd with us. He's been a few times, and thank you, Lloyd, for joining.
Where are you from?
Atlanta. He's been a part of the Atlanta congregation for a while, so we're at the Solomons, and so it's great to have you with us. And
I know redheaded Kevin.
They're all down in Orlando right now, so including our boys. We also have my wonderful niece and nephew. Hallelujah! Tori and Kenaniah, give it up for my awesome Keith niece and nephew. Hallelujah! Yes, thank you. And they're up from Chattanooga for the weekend. Just great to have you guys with us. And and so, praise the Lord. Our boys are down at the Southeast Conference. With all the community, I think they had some part in the Torah service that was on stage. So we're very proud of them. And they're also getting involved with the youth program. And those of you who are youth, would love for you to go and be a part of that next year at the Southeast in Orlando. It's just really a fun time. And we'd just love for you to join. So praise the Lord. Those of you, Tori and Ken and I, if I could get your addresses again, just make sure you're in the system, because I'm not sure. You're getting our communications, are you? You're not. Okay, so let's get you on there, and then hopefully get into our system again. Does that make sense? Yeah, good. Well, it's great to have. Be in prayer for Tori and Ken and Aya. Do you mind if I share? Their mom, who is my brother, is now married to someone else, but their mom passed away in November, and so it's been a very difficult time. Yeah, suddenly. Yeah. So we continue to pray for Tori and Ken and I as they go forward in this new season. Pauline was zealous for the Lord, and she always loved.
She was fun.
She was fun. And she always loved to come to the synagogue when she was here. So we think of her fondly, and
we miss her.
We miss her, but we know she's with the Lord. So that's a comfort to us.
We remember some wonderful times, especially at holidays, and just spent going out with Scott and her and you and I, and we just had a lot of fun. You guys were just little. Probably too little to remember those days, but anyway, yeah. I remember you though. I remember when you were born. I remember when you were born too. You were a baby, and when is Victoria? When's your birthday? June 28th. So you're January 15th. Can I? I remember. I remember when Christmas over at Don's parents. And they were, we were all sitting there, opening presents, and Victoria was in a little carrier. She was just a little baby, and I remember that. She must have been just about 6-7 months old. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
You don't remember that though. That was when the porch had Glad wrap around it.
I remember that.
Praise the Lord.
The whole neighborhood used to call it the Saran Wrap House.
All right, inside jokes. Praise the Lord. Well, just a few announcements and we'll continue on. First of all, if you haven't gotten your calendar, we still have plenty of those, so you can send just $20 per calendar in plus $4, and if you want, that will give you up to three calendars shipping. So for three calendars, that's $60 plus $64, and you can get three calendars. Okay,
that's the $64 question. What can you get for $64? Three calendars to give to your spiritual friends.
Yes. So family. Don't forget about that. We still have a pretty good stack of those left. We had our Hanukkah service last Saturday or Sunday night, and so thank everyone who came out and joined for that. Tonight we're finishing up Hanukkah. We're moving into the new year.
No more Hanukkah.
No more Hanukkah. So, but I do want to remind you that our newsletter that went out this past week, Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, is available on the website at forzionsake.org. So go grab that. If you didn't get an email, you should be able to grab it and share it with people. And I also want to remind you of the project that we're involved in right now, which is called Aliyah Now Initiative. We are sending families back to Israel, just like our vision says that we're about Aliyah. So we're walking in that vision. We are sending a family back. It looks like our fund has been increased to the point where we can send another family. So we're going to, for Hanukkah, be sending another family back to Israel. So I want to thank everyone who has contributed to that. It takes, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It takes $1,500 to help a family. And so that's where we're at right now. We've got a $1,500 in the fund, and we're going to send that on to the next family. So anybody can just, if you want to contribute to this on a monthly basis, just make sure that you tag it for that on your donation, say Aliyah, and then we can get that fund up there to $1,500. What we'd like to be able to do is send one family per month and then increase it to more than, you know, maybe three to four families per month. So that all depends on how much, you know, we all contribute. So it's on the website, the donation button, and you can just designate, say, if you want to do a monthly donation, say this monthly donation is for Aliyah, and then that will go directly to these people who are moving home. And Rabbi's talking about how this is happening now, and it's actually increasing. More and more families are needing to move home because of the anti-Semitism and the terrorism that's springing up all over our country and around the world. And the result of it is that Jewish people are moving back to Israel, which is what God intended for us to do. So let's help with that. Let's not just be focused on what's wrong, but let's focus on what God is doing, what the result of it is. What is God doing? Well, he's sending the Jewish people home. So let's invest in that. Amen? And I do encourage you also to invest in your local synagogue, because this is where we all come together to be able to do these things, to be a representative for Israel in our community, and to also to sow into the building up and the preparing of Israel for the return of the Messiah. So you have an opportunity right here to be involved with Israel on a very personal basis. This is the family of Israel, and if you come and put your shoulder to the plow, you will become a part of the family. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, so the next major event that's happening at For Zion's Sake Ministries is going to be June 2026. Jonathan Kahn will be coming to our area right here, Kingsport.
Yeah, June 12th and 13th.
Yeah, I said June.
12th and 13th.
Right, June 12th and 13th. And he's coming here to this area, and with Jonathan Burness, and there's going to be awesome worship. It's going to be a weekend of just power and anointing and information, prophetic information that you're not going to want to miss. So all of this information and tickets and all of that's going to be coming out very soon. So stand by. We had originally said that it was happening in January, but that's not the case. It's in June. Now we've shifted it to June. So you have time, and there's going to be plenty of time to get tickets. And if you need a hotel at the Meadowview, there will be a block of rooms. Okay? So tell your friends and plan to come to that. Meanwhile, Rabbi Joe is on TV. And I've got some cards out there on the table that you all can take with you to make sure that people know when Rabbi Joe is on TV. It's called Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joe Bell. And it's on livingfaithtv.com. All you have to do is go to livingfaithtv.com and then hit the live stream, the live button. He's on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. So Eastern Standard Time. Just go there, click on it at those times, and you'll be able to watch him. He's also available, the programming is available on Rumble and Roku. So, yeah, so that's it. Also, I have another card out there for our congregation. So if you want to scoop up a few of these, and as you're about the community, just invite people to come and be a part of our local Messianic synagogue. You don't have to leave your church. You can come and just take part on Saturdays or join the club, Rabbi says, and be a part of the family of Israel. And I think Rabbi is going to talk about that today. So he's going to dig and dive deeper into becoming a part of the family of Israel. So you're not going to want to miss his message. And we are going to take our tithes and offerings next. So thank you all for coming. Thank you for tuning in. Please send us a message, your comments and your responses, and to either the email or that's listed on the website, or you can call our phone 276-644-1678 and let us know what God's doing for you through our ministry, or if you need more information, we're here to help you. Okay? Shalom, and our tithes and offerings, Rabbi. Okay.
Is my head mic gone? Test 2, 3, 4. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. You know, Don mentioned my TV show, Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joe. And I call it Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joe. And if you, sooner or later, I have two shows on YouTube at Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joe. We're also going to be moving to our For Zion's Sake page, but Mary helped me put two shows up, and one day we're going to get together and we're going to put the rest of the shows up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that people can go back and watch reruns of the show. But people are watching it around the world. And again, it's livingfaithtv.com. And if you're watching on Roku, you can just look for the Living Faith TV block. You know, and if you have Roku, there's blocks, and each block has a title, like Netflix or whatever, you know.
The icon,
yeah. So just click on the Living Faith icon, and again, it's Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you live locally, it's Channel 8. You can watch at Channel 8. But you know what I've been doing? I've been taking about three or four of these with me around town, and I asked people, like yesterday I was at back therapy, and the receptionist, I said, do you like prophecy? And she said, why, yes, I do. And I said, I have a TV show. Would you like one of these? You know? And she said, yes, I would. And I've given them out in dental office, different places, to people, or if I meet somebody, or I'm talking to somebody, you know, or I'm at the gym, whatever,
ask people, do you like prophecy? Are you interested in Bible prophecy? And if they are, if they say yes, then I say, would you like, I have a prophecy TV show. And then I give them out. And so you can do the same thing. Just you're talking to somebody and have a couple of these in your wallet or your purse and just say, if you're talking to somebody, say, by the way, do you like prophecy? And then just say, my rabbi or my uncle or whoever, my best buddy, my BFF. big farting friend. Just kidding. But seriously, no. You can just give them out, and that way people can get in touch, connect with the show. It's also on Channel 8. And as far as our prophecy conference, I am so excited, Don, about Aliyah Now Initiative, that we are sending our second family back to Israel.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
These are first fruits, but this is why we were called here. This is our final mission. It's like Mission Impossible. Like, we're on Mission Impossible number 8. Okay? They've gone through 7 Mission Impossible movies. We're Mission Impossible number 8. And that is to send as many Jewish families back to Israel as we can. And it's $1,500 a month to send a family. Eventually, I believe we're going to have airplanes. We're not going to buy them. We're going to lease them. And we're going to lease jumbo jets. And we're going to fly planes filled with Jews and Christians leaving America because of you see the terrorism increasing, you see the anti-Semitism increasing, anti-Christian sentiment is increasing in this country, churches are being attacked as well, more churches have been attacked than synagogues, even though anti-Semitism has risen in these riots and pro-Palestinian, there's more pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian and pro-terrorists, they're terrorists. Parades and sit-ins and marches and riots in this country since 2023, there have been more pro-terrorist, Islamic terrorist parades than there have in the Middle East. That probably 100 times more. In fact, I haven't seen any in the Middle East, actually. In fact, Egypt and it won't even take Palestinians in. The people that call themselves Palestinians, they're not actually, they're Arabs. The people that live in Israel in a place called Gaza, they won't even take them in. In Egypt or Jordan, they won't let them in. You have to ask yourself, why our presidents, like a couple before President Trump and after President Trump's first one, why they let them in, but other Arab countries won't let them in. What do the Arab countries know that we don't know about letting these people in? What do they know? Why won't they let them in their country, but we do? And you're seeing it. Truck drivers killing people on the highway. You're seeing terrorist attacks and killings, murders and stuff. You name it. Just all kinds of crimes being committed. And, look at Australia, the murder that took place there because they let somebody in who was a terrorist. And in Australia, they let these two guys become citizens, and they were radicalized Muslims. And I'm not saying, not all Muslims are bad. It was actually a Muslim guy who took the gun away from one of those killers in Australia. It was a Muslim who jumped on and took the gun away from the father. There was a father was 50, the son was 25, and he jumped on the father, this big Arab guy, Muslim guy, I don't say Arab, I don't know, but big Muslim guy, and he had jumped on the guy with the long gun, and that's brave, man. I mean, most people, if you looked at the pictures, hundreds, maybe thousands of people were running the opposite direction. This guy ran into the fire and jumped in and took away the gun from one of the shooters. So, you know, who knows how many lives he saved. And then the other guy that was shooting shot him. So he's in the hospital. So I'm going to pray for him in a minute and pray for his life. But I can't remember his name. But anyway, so consider donating to our Aliyah now to send Jewish people back. Our goal is to send one Jewish family a month. And this is our second family. We did one at Passover last year.
No, at Sukkot.
We did one at Sukkot, and we're doing one now at Hanukkah. But the goal is to do it every month. So we're going to try to raise $1,500 a month. And hopefully we'll be raising a lot more than that. But do not despise the day of small beginnings. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start sending many people back to Israel. And, you know, there's a lot of Christians are going to not only go back to Israel, but many people don't know that Israel is filled with lots of Christians, American Christians, German Christians, Swiss Christians, Austrian Christians, people from all over the world live in Israel, and because they get it. They get that Jesus is Jewish. They get that they want to be in the Holy Land. They want to be where he is coming back, where he's going to dwell, and where his throne is going to be for the millennium. They want to be there. They want to live there. They're like Ruth. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So Don mentioned our conference. It's called the For Zion's Sake Ministries Prophecy Conference, featuring Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, both very famous personalities, rabbis. Of course, if you don't know Jonathan Kahn, he wrote The Harbinger and The Return of the Gods, and most recently Avatar and The Dragon's Prophecy, and numerous books, The Josiah Manifesto, and probably about five more. He's just a fascinating man to listen to, and Don and I hope we'll be listening to him speak in about a week. We'll be in a week after we'll be going down to Florida to a conference down there where he'll be speaking, and it's the Rabbi's Conference. And also Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, he has a show that's on TBN and on Daystar and probably several other Christian TV stations. And I know him, I know them both, but Jonathan Bernis is just a brilliant man, brilliant man of God, great speaker. I've heard him, I know him. He is a man of great character and integrity, and I really felt God impressed upon me to invite him to come to our conference. So we've really got two high caliber guests. We have Marty Goetz is coming. Marty and Misha Goetz will be doing the worship for us, along with Kol Echad, group from the worship team from Beth Messiah in Houston, Texas. They'll be coming with an oil rig. Praise the Lord. And the oil of the Holy Spirit is going to come spurting out. It's going to flood the room, Billy. Praise the Lord. But it's a big room. It's not here. It's going to be at the Meadowview. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. No oil rig. That was a joke. But praise the Lord. So we'll be advertising it big time starting in February. And so just sign up for our newsletter. Don told you about the Zion letter. Just give us your name and address. I send these out only about eight times a year. So we don't send you mail every week. I promise you, you're not going to get a letter every week asking for money. I guarantee it. So sign up, get my teachings. It's a teaching letter. If you like folks online and folks in the room, if you don't have it, sign up and get my teachings. And then also you'll get information about the conference. You'll get information about any discounts that we have and things like that. Just wanted to say that. All right. Let's pray. Did you mention your flower garden, Dawn?
No.
Okay. My wife has a discipleship class called the Flower Garden. It meets on Monday nights at 6:30, most every Monday, unless she's like flying somewhere in like Bolivia or something, you know, but or over the Rocky Mountains. But anyway, you never know where you'll find Dawn Bell. God bless. Hallelujah. Anyway, she's got the group is of ladies. They meet Monday nights at 6:30. It's a women's discipleship class. I had three ladies raise their hand that they love the class. Can I get it, ladies who are part of the class to raise their hands again if you endorse it? Abigail, Carol, and Mary. We have another three ladies who are part of the class, and they love it. So on the testimony of two, a matter is established. Right, Victoria? Praise the Lord. Amen. So join the class. Talk to Dawn. And just contact our ministry, and Dawn will reply to you. And leave a message if you're watching online and you'd like to be a part of it. She can tell you how you can be a part. It's a video.
It's remote video.
It's remote. It's in a very secret place.
No.
It's in the flower garden. No, she'll tell you how to be a part of it. And just contact our ministry. Email us or call us and say you're interested in being part of the flower garden. It is for a biological men, women only, not men.
What the
biological heck? Women. No, excuse me, that was a Freudian slip. No men are allowed. I'm not allowed. In fact, she closes the door when she does this thing, so I can't even hear what's going on. I just hear giggling. That's all I hear. So. All right, so we're going to pray, and then I'm going to teach on, I'm going to give a Jewish nativity, even though traditionally Jews don't celebrate Christmas. Because I love my Christian friends, I'm going to give a Jewish nativity message. It's going to be my sermon today, a Jewish nativity message. So, you know, I'm doing that. It's a teaching. It's probably unlike any teaching you've ever heard, any Christmas message you've ever heard in a church. But it is about the birth of the Messiah. So that's what we're going to talk about. Let's pray and take our offerings. And folks online, if you'd like to give, you just hit that donate button and consider supporting this ministry. If you've been watching us, and you've been blessed, you're watching me on TV, please support us and help us fund all these projects that we do. You'll be blessing Israel. We are a very fruitful ministry, not because of me, but because of God. He has helped us to build, we've helped build, raise millions of dollars to build the largest humanitarian aid ministry in Israel, run by Messianic Jews and partnership with Christians such as Franklin Graham Samaritan Purse and the Robertsons, not those Robertsons, but the Pat Robertson Robertsons, CBN Christian Broadcasting Network, their ministries, Operation Blessing, and so there's partnership with Christians and many other Christian ministries that are involved from all over the world helping. And unlike the one you hear with the little ladies who can't garden anymore and they get the food boxes, unlike that ministry, this is a gospel ministry. This is a ministry that of believers giving help, aid, and comfort, food, clothing, furniture, medical supplies, food, eyeglasses, shoes, jackets, you name it, long underwear, children's clothing, to any needy people who come into some of over 40 to 50 distribution centers. Sometimes towns call us up and ask us to come and give to the town if they've had a tragedy or rockets go off or something. And so let's pray for our tithes and offerings. Folks in the house, if you'd like to give an offering, our custom is to bring it to the box in the back of the room, and there's also a basket there for the alms for the poor. And so if you'd like to support, if you have some spare change or like to put some money in the basket for the poor, we have lots of people asking us for assistance this time, especially this time of year. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, first of all, for the man in Australia who took down that gunman. We thank you, Lord, for him stopping, taking away his gun, and even though he got shot. We pray for his life, Lord. We pray that he recovers and fully makes a full recovery, Lord, and he's a hero, Lord, for what he did. And we're grateful to you for that, Lord. And we pray for all the sick. If you're watching, we pray for you. If you need healing, we just pray that God would touch you and heal you wherever, from your head to your toe, that God would heal your body and take your sickness wherever you are, whoever, wherever you're watching today, in the name of Yeshua. And we pray for the people in our congregation who have needs, who are not feeling, have illnesses, and whatever's troubling, ailing you. We pray that God would heal you and give you his grace and his comfort and strength and courage to face whatever your trial you're facing, in the name of Yeshua. I pray in the name of Yeshua, heal Abigail's foot, Lord. We pray that you would just heal her foot, and wherever she sprained her foot or ankle and toe, Lord, you know where it's hurting her. Just touch and heal her, Lord. And we pray for Carolyn, Lord. We pray for strength for Carolyn, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. I pray for my sister who said she's in her 70s, and she was telling me, asked me a message that she's just seems to get tired at night. And she, that's, I guess, when most people get tired, but she's getting tired earlier at night. And she, she's getting older. And so I just pray for my sister. I pray, she's my only sister that's alive. And I just pray for her and for her healing, and pray for her strength and well-being in the name of Yeshua. I pray for her salvation. Pray that she would question, and that you would come to her, Lord, and bring salvation to her. Wake her up, Lord, and save my sister. And I pray that in Yeshua's name. All right. Now bless this offering, bless the giver, and bless the gift 100-fold. And thank you for these tithes and offerings, Lord, for your glory and your kingdom. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.
When we rise up.
When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. For the Lord is the giver of law, it is he who's enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings,
It is He who will save and victory bring.
When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. At the thunder of your voice, the thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. At the thunder of your voice, the thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. For the Lord is the giver of law. It is He who's enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings. It is He who will save and victory bring. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Because with God we'll gain the victory. Amen. With God we'll gain the victory.
With God scatter the enemy. With God we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
With God
scatter the enemy.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
Oh, the horse is made ready for the day of battle. The victory belongs to the Lord. The sword and the shield and the bit and the bridle. The victory belongs to the Lord.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God
scatter the enemy.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
Oh, house of Israel, trust in the Lord. The victory belongs to the Lord. Is He not your shield and your sword? The victory belongs to the Lord. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. The victory belongs to the Lord. Is He not your shield and your sword? The victory belongs to the Lord.
With God we'll gain the victory.
With God scatter the enemy.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God
scatter the enemy.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, if God be for you, who can be against you? The victory belongs to the Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? The victory belongs to the Lord.
Hallelujah. If God be for me.
If God be for me, who can be against me? The victory belongs to the Lord. If God be for me, who can be against me? The victory belongs to the Lord.
Come on, put your hands together.
With God, we'll gain the victory.
With God,
scatter the enemy.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God
scatter the enemy.
With God
we'll gain the victory.
With God we'll gain the victory.
Hallelujah.
If God be for us, Who can be against us? The victory belongs to the Lord. Yeah. If God be for us, who can be against us? The victory belongs to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need a little victory in your life, sometimes we just need to do a little worship.
Yes, indeed.
Put your hands together, praise Him.
And since Don called for dancers, we want Abigail to hop. So Abigail's going to lead everybody in the bunny hop. All right. Abigail and Anthony are going to lead us in the hop. Let's go to the hop, right, Anthony?
I lay a stone in you, a rock upon which to build. I lay Yeshua in you, a beautiful place to dwell. I lay a name in you, a name upon which to build. I lay Yeshua in you, a beautiful place to dwell. La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. I lay a stone in you, a precious stone to behold. I lay Yeshua in you, a beautiful place to dwell. I lay a name in you, a precious name to behold. I lay Yeshua in you, a beautiful name to bear. La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. On a hill shining to the world, let every eye behold His glory. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. A vision of two cities, a vision of the Lord, a vision of His glory. Forever and ever. Hallelujah. A stone of stumbling, a rock of crushing, let a fence yield its power to Yeshua. A rock of rivers, a stone of gushing from your belly, let the Spirit flow. A vision of two cities, a vision of the Lord, a vision of His glory forever and ever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's putting a stone. That stone is Yeshua. He's put it in you. Yes. Amen. And it's starting to build a beautiful building. Beautiful. Something beautiful in you. Hallelujah. Master of His goodness. We gratefully acknowledge you in worship and in praise. In all our ways, may your name be blessed. Rock of our lives, so Ayenu, all that we have is from you. Shield of our salvation, Magen Yeshenu, we thank you. Bless you. Oh, best of the universe, Hatoshimcha, the Holy One who grants us his goodness. We gratefully acknowledge you in worship and in praise. In all our ways, may your name be blessed. Rock of our lives, Tohayenu, all that we have is from you. Shield of our salvation, Magen Yeshenu, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you. We give you our love and all that we have to you. We love you, Lord, Master of my life. I will bless him. The praise shall be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble man will hear of him. The afflicted will be glad and join with me to magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. I'll sing his praises, magnify the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear his name, to save them and deliver them from harm. Though lions roar with hunger, we lack for no good thing. No wonder then we praise him with our song. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Come, children, now and hear of me, if you would seek long life. Keep your lips from wickedness and lies. Do good and turn from evil. Seek peace instead of strife. Love righteousness and God will hear your cry. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt.
exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold wisdom. To thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for tomorrow and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine without thousand beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed
going to go to the Lord's table. And so I'm going to ask Mary, if you'd like to serve today, would you like to serve? Okay. And Carol, are you able to serve today?
Abigail,
but she's got a bum foot. Are you okay to serve? Okay, Abigail. Abigail, Carol, Abigail lives to serve, so you, Carol, you're out. No. I'm just fooling around. I'm just being, I'm the rabbi wise guy. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bless the cup. And is my head set on? Praise the Lord. Okay. Mary will help you. Mary, would you help Abigail?
Okay.
Thank you. First thing is to wash your hands if you haven't. All right. Is the camera? Do I need to go stand somewhere else? Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night Yeshua was betrayed, it was Passover. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, they were having a Passover meal, a Passover Seder meal, and and the Lord took the cup, taken after the meal, I'm sure, and in Jewish culture, and we always bless everything. We bless we bless the meal before we eat, and then we bless it after. We actually have a longer blessing after the meal in religious Judaism than we do before the meal. It's actually a beautiful song, but I'm not going to sing it right now. But it is a beautiful liturgy. We do a blessing for washing of the hands in religious Judaism. We bless everything. We really do. So praise the Lord. And religious Jewish people are walking around praying all day long. I watched a man on a plane to Israel 2 months ago on the way to Israel. Don and I watched him praying and reading his holy book of some sort. I don't know if it was the Bible or the Talmud, for 10 straight hours. He didn't put that book down, and he read and prayed for just 10 hours. He might have stopped to eat, I don't know, but he was going at it, no sleep, nothing, reading that book. It was really amazing. So Yeshua would have blessed the cup, and he would have said, Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. And then with the cup taken after the meal, as Luke 22 talks about, it says he broke a piece of bread and gave it to them with the cup. That bread was called the afikomen. It's a very special piece of matzah, of unleavened bread. And it's taken together with the third cup, even to this day. But it's mentioned in Luke 22. And so if you read in Luke 22, it says that he gave them a little piece of bread with the third cup. And that custom
is done still to this day in unbelieving Jewish homes as well as Messianic Jewish homes. So this is the blessing of the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And since Yeshua, he said to us, he's the bread of life, it's really a prayer of resurrection. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the bread of life from the earth. Amen. He was praying for his own resurrection that night at Passover. Powerful. Anyhow, so the Bible says that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God, and that he came to die for your sins and mine, and that he, after being crucified, was buried 3 days and three nights, and that he rose from the dead on the third day. And if any man believes that in him and confesses, the Bible says, if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be saved. And my question for you, friend, is, are you saved today? Do you know where, if you died today, do you know where you would be tomorrow? Do you know if you're going to heaven? Do you have an assurance that you're going to heaven? If you don't know, pray with me now, and I can help you find, get that assurance that you can go to heaven. And how do we get to heaven? By trusting, by believing that Yeshua, that Jesus of Nazareth, died for our sins and rose from the dead after being buried 3 days and three nights. So pray with me, okay? Just pray this prayer. It's not the words, it's what's in your heart. If you'd like to have an assurance that you're going to heaven, just pray with me now. Dear God, I have messed up. I have broken your commandments. I have broken your laws. I have not followed your instructions. I have made many mistakes in my life. I need your forgiveness. Come into my heart, Jesus. Wash me. With the blood. Of the Lamb. Cleanse me. And put my name in your book of life. Forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's close our eyes and bow our heads and for a moment. And if anybody prayed that prayer, just with everybody eyes closed and heads bowed, just raise your hand and I have a gift for you. I'm not going to make you come forward or anything, but if anybody prayed that prayer and met the Lord, I have a Bible for you. So just raise your hand and I'll know. Praise God. All right. And folks at home, same for you. If you met the Messiah today and found assurance of eternal life just now, I encourage you to read the Gospels. Maybe you start in the book of John or the book of Matthew. Either one. They really suggest Jewish people start in the book of Matthew. And because it's a very Jewish book, even though they're all Jewish books, really. But John is typically the book that they suggest for non-Jewish people as to start reading the book of John. So anyway, whichever you choose, you can't go wrong. I read all four Gospels when I got saved. So, but just let us know. If you don't have a Bible, contact our ministry and we'll send you one free. Praise God. All right, I'm going to turn it over to the ladies, and they're going to serve you. Thank you. Mary will show you what to do.
Did you do the blessings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Hope for all ages, send the sun. Come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Come, Yeshua, come. The prophets of old Messiah foretold, the dead will rise and we will meet our Lord. Soon he will come, God's righteous one. We will live for him forevermore. Come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Hope for all ages is in the Son. Come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Come, Yeshua, come. The prophets of old, Messiah foretold, he'll appear and Israel will see. The nail prints in his hands, they'll mourn throughout the land, cleansed, restored for all eternity. Oh, come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Hope for all ages is in the Son. Come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Come, Yeshua, come. The prophets of old, Messiah foretold, he will rule the earth as Lord and King. Forever he'll reign, we'll all praise his name. Let us lift our hearts to him and sing. Oh, come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Hope for all ages is in the Son. Come, Yeshua, Yeshua, come. Come, Yeshua, come. Come, Yeshua, come. Come, Yeshua, take me to a place I've never known before, to a deeper place. Take me through the chamber door, beyond the realm I've known, or things I've seen and to a deeper place with you, my sovereign Lord. Take me to a deeper place than I've ever known before. To a deeper place, that's what my heart longs for. Take me to a deeper place than I've ever known before. To a deeper place as I worship at your throne. Hallelujah. Take me to a place I've never known before. deeper place. Take me through the chamber door, beyond the realm I've known, or things I've seen and heard, to a deeper place with you, my sovereign Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Test 1, 2. Okay, we're going to take it together, except for the helpers. Folks at home, you can join us. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. I'm going to make sure it's centered and balanced, okay, on me. It's not tilted. You got it? Okay, just wait a second and we'll start, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, let me pray and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this message. Just anoint it. Anoint the ears to hear it and the eyes to see. And empty your servant. Forgive my sins, Lord. And deliver your word to me. Bind the enemy. In Yeshua's name, amen. Yeah. Right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, friends on Facebook. This is Rabbi Joe, and I want to welcome you, our friends on Facebook. Today's message, even though Jewish people don't celebrate traditionally, don't celebrate Christmas, and Christmas wasn't actually brought to the Holy Land until the 4th century, okay? They didn't celebrate Christmas in Bethlehem until the 4th century. That's like in the 300 and like 340 or 330 BC, AD, 330 years, like about 300 years after the Messiah. And you might ask, well, why didn't they celebrate Christmas in the Holy Land for 300 years after he died and rose from the dead? Well, that's because he celebrated Hanukkah, John 10:22. If you read John 10:22 in your Bible or look it up on your phone, it says that Jesus was walking in Solomon's, in the temple, in the court of Solomon, or Solomon's colonnade, which is actually the court of the Gentiles, and He was there for the Feast of Dedication. And that means he walked from Galilee in wintertime. If you go outside, it's probably wherever you are in the central or northern United States, it's probably in the 40s. And during the night, it was probably down in the 20s. In Israel, right around now, it's generally in the 30s, maybe, if you're blessed. Between Galilee and Jerusalem, it's somewhere in the 40s at night. But he walked 85 miles. That's like walking, if you're from Tennessee, that's like walking from here to Morristown or beyond Morristown. That's a long walk, right, Anthony? That's a very long walk from here to walk to Morristown, Tennessee. 85 miles. So it must have been important to him, and this is the last day of Hanukkah, for Jesus to celebrate Hanukkah. And I've been teaching on it, and so if you haven't heard my messages on Hanukkah, I encourage you either to sign up for my newsletter and get a copy of this recent newsletter, Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, which teaches all about Hanukkah and gives you the three of the main reasons why I believe it's perhaps the most important holiday that the Messiah celebrated. Not important just to people, but to him personally, why Hanukkah was so important that he celebrated it. In fact, it's not mentioned in the Bible. It's the only New Testament holiday that's new. There's no other holiday mentioned in the New Testament other than Hanukkah. And the funny thing about that is that typically Christians don't celebrate Hanukkah, most Christians, but they celebrate Christmas, which isn't in the Bible, and Jews who, in their Bible, traditional Jews who don't read the New Testament, they celebrate Hanukkah. I, for the life of me, can't quite figure that one out, but Hanukkah is in the Catholic Bible, but yet Catholics don't celebrate Hanukkah either. And It's a very interesting phenomena. But today we're going to talk about, since I love my Christian friends, I'm going to talk about Hanukkah, and I mean Christmas, not Christmas. We're talking about the birth of the Messiah, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about, is his birth. And because it's you know, we Jews, we don't really have a good time of year to talk about it. Now, if you turn to Luke chapter 1, and a lot of people say that this is referring to Elizabeth's month of pregnancy, but it does not say that. It doesn't say that. So if you turn to Luke 1, it says, in verse 26, it says, now, okay, I'll read verse 25. Thus the Lord has dealt with me. So Elizabeth was praising God. Zechariah, her husband, was serving as a priest, and he had finished, and he was on his way home. So it says in verse 23, so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Zechariah, that's the father of John the Baptist. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Okay? And then it says, now in the sixth month, it doesn't say in the sixth month of her pregnancy. It says, now in the sixth month. Now, I've been telling you about biblical calendars. The sixth month is not June, okay? The sixth month is called Elul, and it fell, well, let's see, in September. Let's see. September 1st was the eighth day of Elul, so it's in the end of August, and the first 3 weeks of September this year was the month of Elul, and that's the sixth month on the biblical calendar. So if you're reading your Bible and you get a date, like on the second month, on the fifth day, such and such happened, or in Genesis it says on like the seventh month, on the 17th day, the ark rested on Mount Ararat, you might want to look up, well, what month is the seventh month in the Bible? Having one of these calendars tells you that, what did I say the sixth month was? The last week of August through the first 3 weeks of September, right? So that would put the seventh month in the third week of, and the first day of the seventh month is right here, in the pink. That's Tishrei. That's the Feast of Trumpets. So in the seventh month is when the ark rested. I don't remember exactly which day, but if you read Genesis, you can look it up. It rested in the seventh month, sometime in September or October. The ark rested on Mount Ararat. So it says in the sixth month, going back to Luke, that's why these biblical calendars are so important, because they really help you study the months. And I'm going to tell you also why I believe this is talking not about Elizabeth, but about Mary. And it says, it says in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So there's a change there. We're no longer talking about Elizabeth. Now we're talking about Mary. We're not talking about Elizabeth's sixth month of pregnancy anymore. Something's changed. A paragraph, a new chapter. They didn't have chapters when they wrote the scrolls. There were no chapters. So when they wanted to go from one chapter to another, they just wrote a new paragraph. But there was no, men added chapters later. Okay? So here we have a whole new thought, a whole new concept. We're not talking about Elizabeth's giving birth to John the Baptist. We're now talking about the angel Gabriel is visiting Mary in the sixth month. That would be, as I said, this year, the last week, sometime between the last week of August and the first 3 weeks of September. Now, if the angel Gabriel visited in the sixth month, which was, let's say, September, okay? Or let's say the first week of September, and that's when she conceived, because he told her the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. That's what he said to her. It says, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a great name, of the house of David, a great middle name. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua," or in English, Jesus. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Hallelujah. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob," Jacob meaning the Jewish people, "forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, or Miriam was her Hebrew name, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In other words, "I'm a virgin." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, that was in the sixth month. Now, you have to understand, the shepherds, when they visited, they were in the fields, right? Okay, the shepherds, they don't hang out with the sheep in the wintertime at night. You know why? Because I told you, it's 30 degrees out there. Jerusalem, Bethlehem, is up in a mountain. It's like 4,000 feet high. So it's 3,500 to 4,000 feet above, high. And it's cold. Everybody say it's cold. It's cold in those fields at night. People aren't sleeping in the fields with sheep, okay? So, Joseph and Mary, they couldn't find any room anywhere in Bethlehem. But you notice it doesn't say, so they went out and slept in a field. No, they went into a barn, she gave birth, and they put the baby in what's called a manger, which I've actually shown pictures of it before, but I don't have one ready for you today. But in Israel, it would look like it's not what you think of, like what horses or livestock eat out of in this country, which would be made of wood. It would have made of stone. It was made of stone, and it was carved out like of a big round piece of stone, long round piece of stone, like a long wheel, and it was carved out, and they would put the food in there. So the baby was laid in the manger with hay or straw. And hopefully they had a blanket or two, or a fur to keep them warm, right? So it was cold. And the shepherds don't come stay out in the fields at night with the flocks only in the springtime when it's warm. Now, if you count from the sixth month, if the angel came upon, if God, the Holy Spirit, came upon Mary and she was conceived with a child in September, and you count September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, you come to warm weather. I led a tour of a private family to Israel the end of May into the first week of June. The average temperature was 117 degrees, 115 degrees each day. Okay? So what do you think it is in early May, or middle of May? It's probably, average in the 90s in the day, 90 to 100 by day, and then it's probably, you know, in the 60s or early low 70s at night. And that's when the shepherds would be in the fields with the sheep. Amen. That's also when the lambing is, when they give birth, I think in the spring, they give birth to the lambs, to the little baby lambs, amen, in the springtime. You can look that up. Somebody look that up and tell me what time of year do the sheep, to the sheep give birth to the lambs? Because I believe that's when the Lamb of God would have been born. Yes. Doesn't that make sense? Yes. The Lamb of God would have been born when the other lambs were born. Amen? You can just call out to me if you find it about what month the lambs give birth typically. But anyway, so if you count 9 months, you come to May. He would have been likely born in the spring, probably in May. Late April. There you go. That's when the lambing is. That's when they start giving birth, when the mama sheep give birth to the little lambs in late April. So that's about the time of year when the Messiah was likely born, okay? And that's when the shepherds would have been in the fields, and that's when they would have come to visit the Messiah who was in the manger. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, that's the best proof I can offer you. Why did God give us a date? Why did he give us the 6th month? In verse 26 of Luke, he wanted you to know that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. He wanted you to know. He didn't give you the day of his birth because Jews didn't celebrate birthdays in those days, and it's not Jewish custom to celebrate birthdays. In fact, in Proverbs or in Ecclesiastes, it says it's better to celebrate the day of your death than the day you're born. You should actually mourn on the day you're born and the birth of a child and celebrate when somebody dies. I don't know why it says that, but it says it. Because you're going to go through many troubles and hardships in life. And hopefully, you know, I think the writer of you know, whoever wrote Proverbs, most people think it was King Solomon, believed, and I don't think he was wrong, that, you know, righteous people would enter into rest. You know, when they die, they would, all their worries and cares would be gone, and they would, and their sickness, and they could rest. That's called entering into your rest. Amen? So people, everybody dies, right? You know, I went to the doctor, and he says, you know, he says, we have a terrible track record. He says, all of our patients die. I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, everybody dies. And we're all going to have a day. Amen? Everybody, we all die sooner or later, you know, and young or old. And let me tell you something. I met my wife when I was in my 20s. I was just a kid. And, you know, and now I'm getting close to 60. And, man, time just went, woo, flew by. I've spent more than half my life in Tennessee. I can't believe that. That just blows me away. Or about half my life in Tennessee. I've lived here almost half my life. That amazes me because I didn't even know what Tennessee was, except for the Beverly Hillbillies. And maybe, you know, I knew the Dukes of Hazzard was Kentucky, but it was close enough. But that was my impression of this area, that, you know, there would be guys driving around like the Duke boys and people like Granny and Jed and Jethro. There's a few out there that are like them, but I don't hang out with them. Praise the Lord. I have. No, actually, we had a granny, you know, used to come here, and she reminded me of Granny Clampett. And she would always tell me, like it is, she'd say, Brother Joe, She'd say, "We can't lose. We can't lose, Brother Joe. We have the victory." And she'd scream, "Hallelujah!" And she would shout. And she was my biggest, worshiper and greatest worshiper and my biggest fan. She loved my preaching, and she'd always amen me, and she encouraged me in speaking. And I loved her. Mary Brady is her name. I buried her about 14 years ago, and it was an honor to do so. She believed that we would have a building one day. She never lived to see it, and she died about a year before we bought this building, and she donated $50 to $125 a week for some maybe 13 years or so, $50 to $125 a week toward the building fund, so that we would have a building, and next year we're going to pay this off. Yeah. We only owe $14,000 on this synagogue. You know, if you read Luke 7 about the Roman centurion who built the synagogue because he loved the Jewish people, he built their synagogue in Luke chapter 7. So God blessed him and healed his servant. And not only did Jesus bless him, but he almost ran when he heard what the man did to build the synagogue because he loved the Jewish people. He almost ran, took off for the man's house, and the man called after him and said, "Lord, no, don't go to my house. I'm not worthy to have you come to my house." He said, "Just say the word, and it'll be done, because I'm a man under authority, and I tell people to go here, and they go there, and I tell them to come here, and they come, and do this, and they do it. And if you just say it, you know, it'll be done. Because you have authority." And Yeshua marveled, it said. Jesus marveled, and he said, "Greater faith I have not seen in all Israel." Luke chapter 7. So if you want to have that blessing, I believe it's still available. You can help us pay off the debt, $14,000 for this synagogue. And I believe God will bless your socks off. I promise you. You will be very blessed. For helping us pay off the synagogue. And not only that, you'll be only one of two other people that really contributed dramatically. You know, one other gal, she gave about $30,000 or $28,000 towards the building fund. And I believe God blessed her for that as well. So anyway, so let's continue with a Jewish nativity message. So going back to, the angel visiting, and it said she conceived, Mary conceived a child by the Holy Spirit. My question for you is, whose son is the Son of God? Because if we read, it says Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, headline news. What's the most important part of a newspaper, if you even read one anymore? What's the most important, should be theoretically, if news was honest today, and newspapers actually told the truth? Some, very few do, but what is the most important part? Headline news, right? Front page, amen. And so this is what it says on the first page of Matthew, the book of Matthew in the New Testament. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. But if we read further in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Yeshua the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Wow, how many fathers does this kid have? I mean, he's got David, and he's a son of Abraham, and he's a son of the Holy Spirit. Will the real father please stand up? All right, I'm going to explain that. Is the Holy Spirit a son of David? No. The Holy Spirit is not a son of David. It's not a human. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. Wasn't born, amen? The Spirit was at the creation. It hovered over the deep, over the waters. It says there in Genesis 1, and the Spirit hovered over the depths of the darkness of the deep, of the waters on the earth. Amen? The Spirit was there at the creation before men were created. It was the Holy Spirit is part of the unity of God, or as Christians say, I call it the tri-unity of God. Amen? So, no, the Holy Spirit was not a son of David. Is the Holy Spirit a son of Abraham? Any votes for that? Raise your hand if you think the Holy Spirit was born through Abraham. No? No votes for that. Bingo, you're right. No. So how can Yeshua be a son of David or Abraham or even Joseph if his father is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, the Holy Spirit? I know what you're thinking. Mary. He got his lineage through Mary. Sorry, that's not the answer, and I'm going to show you why. Mary couldn't give him that genealogy. Why? Now, let's look here. And let's read a little bit here. It says in verse 3 of Matthew 1, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. She was reputedly a Canaanite, not a Jew. And Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nachshon. Everybody say Nachshon. I love that word, Nachshon. And he begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. And now, by the way, Rahab, if that's the Rahab of Jericho, then Salmon's wife, Rahab, then when they entered the land, she was also a Canaanite. She was from Jericho. Amen? Jericho was part of the land of Canaan. She was in the Jews, the 12 tribes entered the land, the promised land, to kill and destroy the enemies, the tribes that were living in Canaan as a judgment from God. God said that, it says in the Bible, that the sins of the Canaanites have risen up to the Lord and become a stench to him, such that it was time to bring judgment. God uses nations to judge sinful nations in time. When he's ready to do it, he uses other nations like Babylon to judge the people of Judah when their sins rose up to God. And he used the Assyrians to judge the northern kingdom in 722 BC when their sins rose up to God. And I've been reading in Jeremiah 49 and 50, Isaiah chapter 13 through 19, about the judgment of Ammon and the judgment of Moab and the judgment of Babylon and the judgment of all these foreign nations, of Amalek, and the judgments that God brought on the nations who basically treated the Jews with evil, with contempt, and God brought judgment on them because they did that. And so you can read about it again, Isaiah 13 through about, I think, around chapter 19, and then again in Jeremiah 49 and 50 talks about the judgment of many Arab nations around Israel. Okay, so let's go back here to this. So you see these women. It says in verse 5 of Matthew, Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. Well, she wasn't Jewish, neither was Tamar. And then Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, who's Jesse? He was the father of David. Jesse begot David, the king, and King David begot Solomon by her whom he had his wife, of Uriah. By the way, Uriah was a Hittite, which would make the child biblically not Jewish. It wouldn't make the child not Jewish, but Uriah if he had children, they weren't Jewish because he was a Hittite. okay, but what's the point? The point here is this is the line of King David. We are reading the genealogy of King David right here. And why is that front page news? What? Yes, that's true. But why is this front, why is this genealogy? I'll tell you why the genealogy is on the first page. Because Jewish people know that the genealogy, the Messiah had to be a son of David. He had to be a son of Jesse. Amen? The Jews knew that. And the only way they could prove it is because the genealogies were kept in the temple. The genealogies were kept in the temple. But we have a problem. The temple was destroyed in 70. In 70, the temple, Herod's temple, was destroyed. And Daniel 9 says the Messiah was killed. He was cut off. He was put to death before the destruction of Herod of the temple in 70. It's a prophecy. Daniel 9. It's not read in the synagogues. You know, anybody know why? It was not read in the synagogues ever. I never heard it read in the synagogue because they didn't want the Jewish people to know that the Messiah had to come before the temple was destroyed, or nobody could prove they were the Messiah. To be the Messiah, you had to be in the line of David. Not just the line, you had to be in the royal line. You had to be an heir to the throne of David. Amen? And so if we go down to the bottom of the this genealogy, we come, let's look in verse 15. Eliud begot Eliezer. Eliezer begot Matan. Matan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Amen? But what's really interesting about this is the line of David. Go back to verse 6. And Jesse begot David. Everybody say king. King. And David begot Solomon, king. And Solomon begot Rehoboam, king. And Rehoboam begot Abijah, king. Abijah begot Asa, king. Asa begot Jehoshaphat, king. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, king. Joram begot Uzziah, king. Do you see? This is the royal line. This is the direct line of descent from David all the way to Joseph. Okay? Now, some of these guys toward the end are not kings, and I'm going to tell you why. We'll get to that. So anyway, had there been kings in the days of Joseph, the husband of Mary, had there been kings, Joseph would have been the king. And he... we're going to find out why that's important. So let's read on, okay? So we discovered that, so the Holy Spirit is not the son of David. So if and that these women who were not Jewish, and I'm speaking of Ruth, I'm speaking of Tamar, and I'm speaking of Rahab, they did not affect the royal line. You see that? They did not affect the royal bloodline. What does that mean? If they did, then the Messiah wouldn't be a son of David. He'd be part Canaanite. He'd be part Moabite. Right? Right. And so therefore the woman, that's why we have the law of the kinsman redeemer, because if a woman lost her husband or all the men in her family, her brothers and such, if she had no man in her family, she lost her inheritance. Women could not give or pass inheritance in the Bible. Therefore, it didn't matter if Mary was a child of David, if Mary was David's daughter, if Mary was Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and David's daughter, it still wouldn't matter. She couldn't pass the title of king to anybody. Women couldn't pass inheritance in the Bible, okay? Not in this world, in Western civilization, yes, you can. A woman, not title, but inheritance. My mother, when she died, she left me some inheritance. And she left my sisters some inheritance. You know, today, women can give an inheritance, pass an inheritance. But not in those days. Women couldn't, they lost everything. When their husband died, they lost it all. Okay? That's why they needed a kinsman redeemer. So let's go on. So if you read Matthew chapter 1, you'll immediately notice that it begins with the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. As you read through the genealogy, you'll notice a few women, as I said, mentioned, such as Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. For those who say that Mary gave Jesus his Davidic lineage, that would mean that Rahab of Jericho, a Canaanite, Ruth of Moab, a Moabitess, and I once had Moabitess. Oh, it's terrible. would have contributed their pagan lineage to the royal line of David, laid out for us in Matthew's genealogy. However, women in the Bible did not pass lineage or inheritance. That is why God blessed Ishmael, even though Hagar, the Egyptian, was his mother. He received his lineage and his inheritance through his father, Abraham. And God had blessed Abraham so much that even his son Hagar, through his wife's nursemaid, was blessed because the kid's father was Abraham. Pretty cool, huh? And God made 12 kingdoms out of, and they were big kingdoms, out of the descendants of Ishmael, the son of Hagar. Praise the Lord. And we're still fighting them to this day. They're basically the Arab peoples, Muslims, the Arab Muslims. Although there are descendants who are Christian as well, but we're not fighting them. That is why God blessed Ishmael, even though Hagar, the Egyptian, was his mother. He received his lineage and his inheritance through his father, Abraham, and he was very blessed. Although women such as Rahab and Ruth were heroes, and both great women of the Bible, they were not descended of David. In fact, they were Gentiles. So as important as they were in the process, one thing they could not do, and you don't see a single Gentile man in the lineage of King David. They're all Jewish men who were descendants, either ancestors of David, you know, direct ancestors, or descendants of King David. And the Messiah had to be a direct descendant of King David to qualify as the Messiah. Okay? So as important as they were in the process, the women, one thing they could not do was affect the lineage from Abraham to King David. So Joseph, or to Yeshua of Nazareth. Biblical lineage and inheritance in Israel was patriarchal. It was passed on by the male. Okay, let's talk about the kinsman redeemer for a moment, since I brought it up. Perhaps you've heard about the kinsman redeemer. See Leviticus 23 and read the story of Ruth. That's a great story about the kinsman redeemer and how Ruth, Boaz, was her kinsman redeemer, and she had nothing and was gleaning in his fields because she was starving, and he told his servants to let her glean. He liked her. He said, let her, leave a little extra for her and don't give her a hard time. Amen? He had a little thing for her, you know, a little crush. And so he gave her, she got some extra corn or grain, whatever it was she was bringing back to her mother-in-law. And but basically she was like, I don't want to say like the people you see eating leftovers out of trash cans, but that's basically, she was going for the scraps. She was poor, okay? And so let's talk about that kinsman redeemer for a little bit. The kinsman redeemer had to be a male next of kin who would marry a woman, or close next of kin, if not the next of kin to the woman, had to be, in the Old Testament, very close in kinship to the woman's father or husband. And so so the kinsman redeemer was a male next of kin who could marry a woman in Israel who had lost her husband or her father and have a child with her, so that the name of the deceased would not be erased and his property would remain with the wife or daughter. The only way she got to keep the property is if the next of kin married her, because the inheritance would fall to him. And since he got the inheritance of the deceased husband or father, she got it back when he married her. That's the kinsman redeemer. He redeemed her, right? Kinsman redeemer, he redeems her. You see, in those days, if you lost your husband, you lost the farm, you lost everything. The law of the goel, that's the Hebrew word for kinsman redeemer, was God's way of protecting women such as Ruth. Boaz was her kinsman redeemer. Joseph was Mary's kinsman redeemer, okay? She was pregnant, and everybody thought she was, you know, that she was either a prostitute or that she had had, you know, sex out of wedlock with a man, and they treated her like a, you know, like she was scum because she was pregnant and she had no husband. But really, people judged her, and this is what a point that God wants you to know. Don't judge people by their appearances. Until you know what's going on with somebody, don't judge them. And even Martin Luther King said it in his own way. He said, don't judge a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Amen? Don't judge somebody by their appearance. Judge them by the facts, by what you really know, by the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go on here. So the kinsman redeemer was God's way of protecting women such as Ruth. Boaz was her kinsman redeemer, but it also gives us a picture of Yeshua, the kinsman redeemer of the Jewish people. Now I'm going to explain that further. Mary, being a woman, could not give Jesus her Abrahamic and Davidic lineage. All right? We talked about that. Number one, because Joseph, by his own lineage, was more closely related to King David than Mary, even if she was related to King David. And thus, he fit the bill as kinsman redeemer to marry her. Number two, Mary was a woman and therefore could not be a kinsman redeemer, because it had to be a Jewish man. And number three, without a husband, the powers that be in Israel at the time would not have accepted Mary or her son without a husband. So Joseph, who generally gets little credit in biblical history, especially in the Catholic Church, it's all about Mary, isn't it? In the Catholic Church, it's all about Mary. Joseph doesn't get much credit, but without Joseph, we wouldn't have a Messiah. Without Joe, we wouldn't have a Messiah. So praise the Lord for Joe. Amen? But Joseph generally gets little credit in biblical history and Christianity compared to Mary. But he was absolutely indispensable, like King Charles will, when he passes his title on to William or William's son, if William doesn't live, it'll be passed on to his son, I think, what is it, George? to passing on Davidic lineage to Yeshua. But why is Davidic lineage so important? Well, we mentioned that earlier. Davidic lineage of the Messiah is prophecy, in prophecy. Jacob, first prophesied that the royal line, and that's coming up in Anthony's Torah portion next week, I believe, Jacob blessed his sons, and he said, this is what he said in Genesis 49, I think it was, "Judah, your brother shall praise you, your father's son shall bow down to you, the scepter," in other words, the royal staff, "shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes." That's just another name for Jesus, for the Messiah, until Shiloh comes. "And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." Genesis 49, 8 and through 10. "God spoke to King David, saying, 'When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.'" That's what God said to King David. 2 Samuel 12 and 13. 2 Samuel 12, 13. I may have that chapter wrong, but it's in 2 Samuel. Isaiah 11 tells us that the Messiah will come forth out of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. See, that's why it's prophecy. He had to come forth. He had to be a son of Jesse. He had to be a son of David, because the prophets said so. God's word says it. I believe it. And that's it. Amen? Let's all say that. God's word says it. I believe it. And that's it. Amen. All right. It says, "Now when your days..." we read that. So Isaiah 11 tells us that the Messiah will come forth out of Jesse the Bethlehemite, from Bethlehem. And of course, Micah 5 tells us that, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Micah 5, 2 says, "And last but not least, behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." Revelation 5, 5. Praise God. So he's the root of David. Not only is the son of David, but it said, the Lord said to my Lord, somewhere in the Psalms, I think Psalm 51, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Amen. So it's all throughout the Bible that the Messiah had to be a descendant of King David. Okay? So let's read on. "Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, and the Messiah, the Savior, the King of the Jews, and the Christ of the nations, he had to come before the destruction of the Second Temple, because the genealogical records were kept there, and when the temple was destroyed, nobody would ever be able to prove the messianic lineage. For this reason, Daniel 9:26 tells us that he came before the destruction of Herod's temple in 70 AD. The rabbis, and why do we know it was Herod's temple? Anybody? Because by the time Daniel wrote it, the first temple, David's temple, Solomon, has already been destroyed. Okay? When Daniel wrote this, he was already in Babylon. And Daniel, when he wrote Daniel 9, he was already in Babylon, or he might have even been in Persia by that point. And therefore, we knew he wasn't talking about Solomon's temple. He was talking about Herod's temple, the second temple. Amen? All right. So Daniel 9:26 tells us he came before the destruction of Herod's temple in 70 AD. The rabbis never read Daniel 9 in the synagogue because they don't want Jewish people to know. Shh, don't tell the Jewish people that the Messiah had to come before the destruction of the second temple, and that it says so in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. And please don't tell your Jewish friends that the Messiah had to come before the destruction of the second temple, which the rabbis don't let Jewish people read Daniel 9 just because of that. Oops, I let it out. I'm sorry. I'm so naughty. Somebody slap me. All right. All right, let's talk about the curse of Coniah, the mystery of the curse of Coniah. Who wants to hear the mystery? Goliath, do you want to hear the mystery of the curse of Coniah? Ha ha ha, it's coming. In Jeremiah, the whole kingdom of Judah was wicked, except for a small remnant named Kenaniah. No, just kidding. God was about to bring terrible judgment on Jerusalem for their disobedience. One king of Judah, Jeconiah, or Coniah, as his nickname was so wicked that God cursed his line, the line of the kings of Judah. He was a direct descendant. He was a king of Judah. He was a direct descendant of David. And this is what the Lord said in Jeremiah. He said, "As I live, declares the Lord, even though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my hand, yet I would pull you off, and I will give you over into the hand of those who are seeking your life." And if you think I'm giving you this ring, you're dreaming. who are seeking, and you're not seeking my life, right? But yes, into the hand of those whom you dread, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Thus says the Lord, write this man, Coniah, childless, a man who will not prosper in his days, for no man of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling in Judah again. Jeremiah 22:24-30. But wait a second. Joseph, let's go back to Matthew 1, and it says here, Josiah, okay, let's go to verse 10. Hezekiah, everybody say king, begot Manasseh, king. Manasseh begot Ammon, king. Ammon begot Josiah, king. Verse 11, Josiah begot Jeconiah, king, king. And his brothers, about the time they were carried away to Babylon, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, not king. And Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Everybody say, not king. And Zerubbabel begot Abiud, not king. And Abiud begot Eliakim, not king. Are you starting to see the picture here? The curse kicks in. And even though he had children, none of them were kings because of God cursed the line of Solomon at Jeconiah. So none of the descendants, including Joseph, who would heir to the throne, but because of the curse on the bloodline, couldn't be king. This is the mystery. Okay? Joseph couldn't be king. All right. So let's see. What does God do to get around that? It's true. No descendant of Coniah, no blood heir, because the blood came through the male, not the female. And the inheritance came through the male in Israel and to the throne. So no descendant of Jeconiah could be a blood heir, could have sit on the throne of King David, or Solomon would ever sit on the throne of David again. However, notice I said blood heir. Was Jesus a blood heir to Coniah? Who was his father? Who was his father? The Son, the Holy Spirit, right? Did the Holy Spirit have blood? No. Was the Holy Spirit a son of David? No. Was the Holy Spirit a son of Solomon? No. So he didn't have defiled blood in him, right? Right. No defiled blood in the Messiah. Well, what did he have? Let's find out. How did he become king then? If the line was cursed, well, let's read on. Yeshua was born of the Holy Spirit. Blood is passed on through the father in the birth, not the mother. But being adopted by Joseph, God went around his own curse on the Davidic bloodline by fathering the boy himself. I looked, it says, and there was no one to help. This is from scripture from Isaiah. And I was astonished, and there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me. God saying, I did it. Isaiah 63:5. Not a drop of cursed Davidic blood from Coniah was passed on to Yeshua. God, the Holy Spirit, fathered the boy, and Joseph effectively adopted him. When he married Mary, he adopted her son, and God beat the curse of Coniah by adoption. That is why the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph, though he did not biologically father the Messiah. He did act as his kinsman redeemer. What does the redeemer do? He gives back the inheritance that was lost because there's no father or husband, right? No man. Mary didn't have a man, right? She had the Holy Spirit. She was pregnant without a man. Amen? Glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Hosanna. Hosanna. Joseph, who was heir to the throne of David but couldn't sit on it because of his cursed blood, was able to pass the inheritance to his son, his adopted son, Yeshua, Jesus, by adoption, and therefore he went around the curse, defeated the curse, passed the inheritance by adoption. And therefore, Jesus is heir to the throne of David. And when he comes back, he's going to sit in David's throne. Ezekiel 43:7. He will sit on David's throne. And Luke 1 says, he'll be the one who sits on David's throne. You get that? He was adopted. That's how he broke the curse. No blood. He wasn't a blood child of Joseph, which would have disqualified him from the line of David. But since he was adopted, he got all the benefits. He got all the... If a billionaire adopted you and loved you and raised you from a little child, raised you till you were an adult, do you think maybe you'd have a nice life? Do you think some nasty people like Sting aren't giving anything to their kids when they die? They make it public and known that they're not helping their kids. But other people give millions and billions of dollars to their children because they love them and they read the Bible. And the Bible says it's a blessing to give. A righteous person will give an inheritance to their children's children. That's quite an inheritance. The inheritance will be so big it'll go from their children to their children. Hallelujah. And my mother did that. She gave an inheritance to her grandchildren. Praise the Lord. Okay, so to summarize, the Messiah had to come from the line of David, and Joseph, as in Mary and Joseph, Joseph was the closest blood relative to the baby Yeshua, but because of the curse and the prophecies that a virgin would conceive, Isaiah 7:14, and the curse on the line of Jeconiah, Joseph could not actually biologically father the Messiah. God fulfilled his own prophecy by adoption. He beat the curse on Coniah's royal line, and he gave Yeshua a kinsman, redeemer, who fit the bill directly. We read the genealogy of Matthew. And God achieved a virgin birth. Incredible. Jesus was adopted. Merry Christmas, friends. I'm not quite done, but I just want to say to my Christian friends out there, this is a Jewish nativity story. And it's a true one. Hallelujah. Let's talk about Mary for a second. Mary's genealogy isn't in the Bible. Because if you read, everybody says, it's in Luke 3. No, if you read it, it says it's Joseph's genealogy. So whose genealogy is it? It's the genealogy of Joseph's mother. The genealogy in Luke 3 is the genealogy of Joe's mother. And the genealogy in Matthew is the genealogy of Joseph's father. So either way, Joseph was a descendant on both sides of his family of David, one through an heir to the throne and one through a very distant heir. Through Nathan would have been a very distant heir. Nathan wasn't a direct descendant, a direct line. But Mary has, again, a woman couldn't give the throne. She couldn't pass the throne to her son. It had to be a man. So although she was may have been descended of King David, it was through an alternate line, the line of Nathan, and that was Joseph's mother, a line that never sat on the throne. And as we said before, since lineage is patriarchal through the father in ancient Israel, Mary couldn't make Yeshua a son of David or qualified to sit on the kingly throne. It doesn't mean women aren't valuable. Women are very important in the Bible. And women are critical. I mean, Sarah, without Sarah, we wouldn't have Isaac. If there was no Isaac, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. None of us would be here if Isaac hadn't been born. And if Isaac hadn't been born, Jacob wouldn't have been born. And if Jacob hadn't been born, his 12 sons wouldn't have been born. And one of them was Judah. And Judah, who was the line of the Messiah, came through Judah. If Judah did not exist, none of us would be here. Or at least we'd be barbarians. We wouldn't be believers. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So Judah means is a word for a Jew. Judah is one, it also means someone who praises the Lord. The word Jew means praise. Someone that praises the Lord. So Judah was the father of the people that praised the Lord. All right. Let's look at one interesting, before I conclude, one interesting thing that did happen in the Bible. There was this guy named Zelophehad. Everybody say Zelophehad. Zelophehad, okay? Now, there's a guy named Shamgar in the Bible. I've been listening to this guy when I watch my show. There's a preacher after my TV show, and by the way, friends, well, on Facebook, I have a TV show called Bible Prophecy Now on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, Tuesdays at 8 and Thursdays at 7 p.m. on Living Faith TV, and you can go to livingfaithtv.com on Tuesday nights at 8 Eastern Standard Time or Thursday nights at 7 and watch Bible Prophecy Now with me, and or you can watch it on Roku at Living Faith, in the Living Faith box, or on Rumble, or if you live locally on Channel 8. So watch Bible Prophecy Now. Shameless self-promotion. Praise the Lord. All right. Now let's talk about the mystery of Zelophehad. Who wants to hear the mystery of Zelophehad? Praise the Lord. I won't tell you the mystery of Shamgar, just the mystery of Zelophehad today, okay? Last mystery. Zelophehad came out of Egypt with Moses, and he was from the tribe of Manasseh. Zelophehad had 5 daughters. Everybody say 5 daughters. That's a lot of daughters. Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Zelophehad died in the wilderness and had no sons. So his daughters went to Moses seeking possession of their father's inheritance. Remember, the woman needed a kinsman redeemer, but they didn't have a man. And they had no father, and they had no inheritance. So they went to Moses, 5 women, everybody say 5, and one Moses, right? So it says Moses seeking possession, they went to see Moses seeking possession of their father's inheritance. This totally defied the law of the kinsman redeemer. However, God said, if a man dies and he has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. If a man dies and he has no son, you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. Wow, that even breaks the law of the patriarchal passing of inheritance. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. Numbers 27, 8 through 9. So, in other words, God was told Moses, these girls have however, if God said, if a man dies and has no son, and that Zelophehad died, and he just had five daughters, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. So the daughters, you know, God said, give them the inheritance. But he was helping Moses too, because these five women were ganging up on Moses and he needed help. Like Fiddler on the Roof, yeah, you know. So, you know, Moses was like pinned down, you know, cornered by his five daughters. And like, God, help me out here. Do something. And God said, okay, if the guy had no son, which he didn't, then give the inheritance to the daughters. So he did. So this was, if in case Joseph had said no, all right, what if Joe said no? What if Joe said no, I'm not going to marry her. I won't take her as my wife. In fact, he said that. I'm going to put her away. He intended to put her away in a home for unwed mothers. But the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, Joseph, don't put her away. Marry her. What if Joe said no? What if he chose not to marry her? What could Mary have done? If she knew about it, she could have invoked the law of Zelophehad, provided she had no brothers. She could have invoked the law of Zelophehad, and then God would have had to give her, since she had to be a descendant of the Messiah, she would have had to be given the inheritance, you know, to her son. She would have been given the inheritance, and it would have been given to her son. Amen? That was the last safety valve, okay? You know, sometimes when something's dangerous and they have different ways of, like if a system is going haywire, they have a backup system, like a generator. You have a generator. If the power goes out, you have a generator, right? Some people. Okay, but what if the generator breaks? Then what do you do? Well, in our case, we have gas heat. So if it's heat we need, we have gas. So we have a third way to deal with heat, with the heat issue. Now, that doesn't cool things, but at least in the wintertime, it brings heat. So you see what I'm saying? It's a safety valve. All right. That's the law of Zelophehad. So if Joseph had not listened to the angel Gabriel and had put Miriam away, she being a descendant of David, we believe, could have claimed the inheritance of Messiahship and David's throne for her son based on the law of Zelophehad, a rare and mostly unknown exception to the law of patriarchal inheritance, where it normally requires a male kinsman redeemer or brother to pass on the inheritance. The daughters of Zelophehad received their father's inheritance and lineage without a man. Mary would have had to have played this card in order for Yeshua to be the Messiah without Joseph, but her life would have been very, very hard as a single mother. Praise the Lord. All right, in conclusion, most of us know that Yeshua wasn't born on December 25th, as we said at the beginning. It's more likely he was born when the lambing took place at the end of April and the beginning of May, and since I was born on Cinco de Mayo, have this sense that I was born on his birthday, that we're Cinco de Mayo babies. It's just a theory that I have, you know. But, you know, that he and I were born on the same day. But I can't prove that to you. But I do believe he was born when the lambing took place end of April, early May. If Joseph had not listened to the angel Gabriel, so we read that. She could have invoked the law of Zelophehad if she knew about it. The daughters of Zelophehad received their father's inheritance and lineage without a man. Mary would have had to have played this card in order for Yeshua to be the Messiah without Joseph, but her life would have been hard. All right, conclusion. Most of us know that Yeshua wasn't born on December 25th, More importantly, though, and children, if you're watching, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. And there is no Santa Claus, and there is no Tooth Fairy. But one day you'll figure it out, even if I hope I didn't make you cry. But that wasn't my intention. So, and even you adults who believe that he was born on December 25th, he wasn't. I'm sorry. But he was born. Praise the Lord. Amen? That's the most important thing. He was born. Amen? But nobody ever got saved believing in the baby Jesus. It's the one that died. It's the man who died for our sins. That's why God didn't care so much about his birthday, because he didn't want people to make an idol out of the baby Jesus, because nobody ever got saved believing in a baby. Right? It's the man who was crucified, not the baby. Amen? And you know, it's almost gotten to the point where, well, there's a war going on over Christmas nowadays between the woke people and the, you know, the anti-Trumpers and the whole Christmas war that's going on. But anyway, let's finish up here. So, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, more importantly, but somebody was. And his name, he's a pagan god. His name is Tammuz. And look him up, Tammuz, born on December 25th. And if you want to learn about where Christmas really came from, look up Tammuz, look up Saturnalia, and look up, what was that other holiday that starts with an M, I think. John, do you know what I'm talking about? What is it? Mithraism. Yeah, look up Mithraism. Look up Saturnalia. That was the Roman pagan holiday that took place on the winter solstice. And what did they eat? They ate the Saturnalian ham. Not the Christmas ham, the Saturnalian ham. And then later on, the Nords, they added the fur because it took place at the winter solstice, around the winter solstice, which was the shortest day of the year. And if you lived in the North country, like Scandinavia or the Germanic countries, then it was so cold, you needed an early spring to farm so you could have food. So they were praying to the sun gods. They were praying for the sun. That's why you have sunrise services, and Sunday comes from that. Sunday services, because they worshiped the sun so that they could plant crops and have food. It was all about the agricultural cycle, and praying to pagan gods like Yule. Yule is a pagan god. If you want to see what Santa Claus really looked like, look up the guy named Odin, the false god Odin, O-D-I-N or O-D-E-N. Look him up. Look up pictures of him. You'll see a very scary-looking Santa Claus. And if you want to see what an elf looks like, go to YouTube and look up a Krampus parade and see what an elf really looks like. They're pretty big, and they're pretty scary looking creatures, and you wouldn't want to eat a chocolate frosted cookie from them. I promise you that. Okay, so let's finish up. So Krampus, look up Saturnalia, look up Odin, look up Yule, look up where Christmas trees came from, and all these things, and Santa Claus, you know, and things that have nothing to do with Jesus, who celebrated Hanukkah all the years of his life. And even now, today, on this last day of Hanukkah, we remember our Savior, the most important holiday to him in the Bible, in the New Testament, John 10:22, was Hanukkah. And I taught on it. If you listen to my message, my first Hanukkah message, I'll go onto my website and listen to it. You'll hear why Hanukkah was so important to him. Okay? Let's finish. So most of us know that Yeshua wasn't born on December 25th. More importantly, though, we should be aware that the circumstances of his birth qualified him to inherit the kingdom of David and to be the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. Whether obtaining that inheritance through Joseph and adoption or by Mary invoking the law of Zelophehad, even if Joseph had said no and put her away in a home for unwed mothers, Jesus was destined to be the Messiah, and nothing would have stopped it. And yes, the Messiah was adopted. The Holy Spirit, being his true father, is not a human, and therefore is not a descendant of David or Abraham. And that's why Mary needed a man from the appropriate line. And that's why Jesus can't be your kinsman redeemer, because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. My father was my kinsman redeemer, but he died. Now he's in heaven. He can't be a kinsman redeemer. It takes a living Jewish man to be a kinsman redeemer. It has to be a living Jewish man. And in the New Testament sense, still has to be a living Jewish man to give you the inheritance of that God wants you to have, since, praise the Lord, he's calling me now on my phone. Thank you, Lord. That's okay. Just let it go. It'll stop. Praise God. See, he wanted to talk to me. But anyway, so as we're finishing up, so Mary could have invoked the law of Zelophehad, even if Joseph had said no. Yeshua was destined to be the Messiah, and yes, the Messiah was adopted. The Holy Spirit, being his true father, is not a human, and therefore is not a descendant of David or Abraham. And that's why Mary needed a man from the appropriate line, a kinsman redeemer. And that's also why the Jewish people are the chosen people. We were chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. We were chosen to be the kinsman redeemer of the Gentiles. And you basically had, because we were kicked out of the church by Constantine in 325, no Christian after 325, until Messianic Judaism started, was able to have a kinsman redeemer. It takes a living Jewish man who's the right man, has to be appointed by God to be your kinsman redeemer, to give you the blessings of the Jews that were not given at salvation. At salvation, you got eternal life and forgiveness of sin. But it doesn't say that you got all the blessings of Abraham or all the blessings of Jacob. In fact, read Romans 9, 3, and 4. You'll see there's a lot of things that the Jews have that they want to give you, such as an inheritance in the land of Israel. Ezekiel 47, 21. And in Ezekiel 47, 21, God says to the Jews, he says, I want you to give an inheritance to the Gentiles who dwell among you, who sojourn. Carol's been sojourning with us for 17 years now. Anthony's been sojourning with us for 16 or 17 years. Diane has been sojourning with us for 16 years. She's been dwelling with us. And so the blessing, God says, is that people who dwell with you and raise children. Carol has raised two children in this congregation. Billy is one of them. And I remember, I have a picture of Billy sitting on my lap when he was about as tall as my waist. I have a little picture of you when you were just a little cute little guy. But now I think you'd hurt me. we won't try it. But anyway, praise the Lord. So that's why we Messianic Jews are out there, friends. We're here to bless you. We're here to bring you the blessings if you want more. And this is what, in Acts 15, this is what James said. For Moses is preached in every city. He said, if you want more, you want to study Torah, The scrolls cost today about $50,000 for a Bible, a scroll. In those days, the average person couldn't afford a scroll. Only wealthy people and scholars could have scrolls in synagogues. Average person didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a scroll. So they had to go to the synagogue to hear the word of God read. And that's why in Acts 15, in the Jerusalem Council, James, who was the head of all the Christians in that time, all the believers, James was the leader of the, in that day, he wasn't the Pope, but he was the leader in Jerusalem. He said, for Moses is preached in every city. So if you Gentiles want more than just fellowship with us Jews, you can go to the synagogue and you can get more blessings. Hallelujah. And you can find a kinsman redeemer at your local messianic synagogue. Praise God. Please rise. I'd like to bless you. Maybe the Jewish people are the kinsman redeemer to the church. This word is to encourage you, whether you are celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas. We pray that your time with family and friends during the holiday season is blessed and filled with love and joy. And I know that none of you worship Odin, and you don't worship Yule, and you don't worship Saturn, and you don't worship those pagan gods, but you do need to know the truth. And I say that with love. It's important that you understand where your traditions come from and why you do what you do. Amen?
Amen.
And Santa Claus too. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace, Shabbat Shalom. And happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Hope you enjoyed this message. If you liked it, like us on Facebook. Like our page for Zion's Sake Ministries and share it with a friend. God bless you.